for many of us. Oh, let's turn that on. For many of us, the first person we ever met, or whoever met us, was the doctor who delivered us. Similarly, perhaps the first person ever to meet Jesus was Joseph. But he almost didn't. He was going to break off the engagement 6 months earlier. But as he considered these things, Matthew tells us, having considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For Joseph, everything was straightened out by a visit from an angel. When his fiancée came back from a three-month visit to her cousin down south, she was expecting a child. Joseph knew he was not the father. He could only assume that she had been unfaithful to her promise to him and to the law of God. Yet Joseph really cared for Mary. He didn't want to make a public example of her. He did not want to put her to death. Perhaps he wanted to believe her. But she had such a fantastic story to tell. Who could believe it? And if he did take her as his wife, after all, what sort of a person would he be marrying? If they took their marriage vows, would they be so easily broken by her? Perhaps these and many other thoughts tormented Joseph when an angel of the Lord appeared to him and assured him of Mary's faithfulness, backing up her story. Wouldn't it be nice if every time we were confused or on the wrong track or had to make a big decision, God would send an angel to set us right? When we're considering what school to attend, what courses to take, what we're going to do after school, what we're going to do after graduation, whether or not to change jobs, buy a car, buy a house, buy a gift. If only an angel would come to us and tell us what to do. But did the angel's visit really solve all of Joseph's problems? Yes, Joseph now knew that Mary was not guilty of unfaithfulness or adultery. But even if he would believe the word of the angel, it was still an uncommon message, wasn't it? It was not something he could run right over and share with his friends and relatives. He could probably hear them right now. Oh, right, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Of course. You want to sit on the sofa there while I go make a phone call? The problem is not really that God does not send messages to us, is it? His apostles, like Matthew here, are still bringing God's timeless message to us today. The problem is, how are we going to respond when that message is not what we expected? When it leaves us feeling a bit uncomfortable? Or when it doesn't seem to change things? At least not the way we wanted them changed. Joseph, of course, was not asked to go out and share his wonderful religious experience with the angel with his relatives and friends. But he was asked to believe the angel enough to take Mary as his wife, just as though nothing were out of the ordinary. He was asked to continue in the duties which he had already promised to fulfill. He was asked to provide the protection of marriage for Mary to have the child that was not his. But Joseph wasn't just asked to do these things, was he? He was not even commanded to do them. Nor was he frightened into it. He was persuaded to believe and to do. And now we too are asked to believe the message of that angel, that Mary's child has no human father, that he is truly God's Son come to act on our behalf, that this child's life and death will save his people from all the punishment their sins deserve before God, that God has called you to be among his children, his people. Could it be that the reason God does not always send angels when we might want them is simply that we still would not be ready to understand their message? Or, understanding it, we would still have to go about our daily business of living our lives according to the will of God, as difficult as that might seem at times. When the angel left Joseph, all he had that he hadn't had before was the assurance that the Lord himself was involved in all that was going on. And haven't God's messengers given us that same assurance? All things work together for good to them that love God. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Fear not, for I am with you. My rod and staff are here to comfort you. What harm can sin and death then do? The true God now abides with you. Let hell and Satan rage and chafe. Christ is your brother. You are safe. Let's sing it. Hymn 103. 103, the last three stanzas.